always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
So next one here is the Stars No Show. LeBron tonight, 20 points, 9 of 21 from the field, 1 of 5 from three-point range. He's afraid to shoot. He was a minus 14 in this game, grabbed 4 rebounds, had 5 assists. And yeah, like only mattered as a basketball player for about, I'll say maybe 10 of the 34 minutes that he was out there tonight, kind of floated around for much of it, missed some layups, did have the goaltend that should have counted. So, like, you know, I guess you can add that to his stat line if you want. But he wasn't very good. Austin played 32 minutes tonight, 4 of 10 from the field, 1 of 4 from three-point range. Did get to the free throw line 7 times and made 6 of those. Grabbed 7 rebounds. He's been rebounding the ball better. Scored 15 points and was a minus 14 in this one. And then Luka, 33 minutes, went 9 of 22 from the field, 4 of 7 from three-point range, 3 of 6 from the free throw line, and was a minus 21 in this game. Worst plus minus of anybody who played tonight. And, like, the Lakers went back to that formula of Luka go score a bunch. I don't know if that was a concerted effort or if that was Luka deciding that. Like, there were a couple plays that like he was posting up Hugo Gonzalez on one of those plays. Rui made a back cut, was open, missed him. Hayes made a cut into the middle of the paint on that same play, missed him, winds up shooting like a mid-range fall-away jumper, or either that or he got fouled, I forget. But it was just like, you got to reward guys for playing the right way, and he didn't. And I thought it was a really bad game from him. The NBC broadcast was killing him for like every single play. Like, there was one play, he made a 3, and it was that one rule that they said was they were going to implement this year where the high five is supposed to get called. Luka shoots it, makes his 3, gets the high five, falls down from a high five. And then while he is on the ground, whining to the referee, Boston is going the other way, scoring 2 points. And that's, you know, made the highlight. It was a viral moment on Twitter. It made the rounds, was immediately highlighted by the NBC team. And like, you get to like, he picked, did he pick up a T? I don't think he, no. Austin picked up a T, Smart picked up a T, and JJ Redick picked up a T. And I thought the Lakers, like, while the game was still winnable, they spent so much more energy on arguing with referees than they spent on offense trying to run anything. And, you know, it's like, yes, you're right. People who were pointing it out on Twitter that the referees were bad, I thought it was a poorly officiated game. Again. But when you have a team that is so clearly getting bullied and so clearly more focused on refereeing than like going out and playing a basketball game, like if you want, there were plays where the Lakers were still trying to grift to free throws when they weren't getting the calls. Just play. Luka, you're a good enough basketball player to just play. Austin, you're a good enough at the when Austin finally started looking good in the second half, he started saying, fuck it. And he started attacking the pressure and turning the corner, getting into the paint. And he became a better basketball player in those moments. LeBron finally started attacking the basket in the second half when he had more pep in his step. And that's the kind of thing. It was like, all right, you can do that. We now see that you're capable of doing those things. And yet the Lakers, like for the most part, were just those three guys were just thoroughly outplayed by Jaylen Brown, who finished. He played 36 minutes in this one, scored 32 points on 10 of 28 from the field, grabbed 8 rebounds, dished out 7 assists, had three steals and was a plus 18 in the game. And then the other star in this game was Peyton Pritchard, who played 38 minutes off of the bench, 10 of 14 from the field, 6 of 9 from three-point range, 4 of 4 from the free throw line, was a game-high plus 21, you know, as a result of his 30 points. And there wasn't a single person on the Lakers who had any chance of guarding him, Pritchard, that is. Well, I guess Brown, for that matter, as well. But those two guys, like, if you're a Lakers team, you know, we talked about how the Lakers need to, if they're going to be as good as they are, they need to be a great offensive team, and yet their offense keeps on stumbling. Well, if you're the Lakers and you are this top-heavy team, your stars need to be stars night in, night out. But in this one, Luka was the third best player on the court. LeBron was fourth and Austin was fifth because Jaylen Brown and Peyton Pritchard were so clearly that much better than they were. So, for the stars and also, like, I just, this is one of those things where we, again, sorry to keep on making, if you guys are drinking every time I mention culture, I apologize for your hangovers tomorrow. But, like, in terms of Lakers culture, this is a game that you show up for, right? Like, the expectation is it's a Sunday afternoon game. You're wearing the Sunday whites. You're playing the Boston Celtics. You didn't have a game the night before. Everybody is available. This should not be a game where, in the offside chat, we just kept on wondering, like, are you guys going to start caring? Like, they were super lackadaisical with the basketball. The Celtics were beating them to every 50-50 ball. And it was just clearly a game that the Lakers, like, hardly dared, you know, like, cared to show up for. And it's like, if you do that against the Orlando Magic on a Wednesday night in Orlando, okay, it happens over the course of 82 games. If you do that against Boston in your building, with, like, the Showtime Lakers being honored and all of the everything that's going on there, I'm sorry, you shouldn't continue to be a Laker. You cannot. Like, you don't care about the things that make Lakers special, the ones that we care about longer term, years down the road. Those guys got up and understood the gravitas of playing the Boston Celtics. And this was an opportunity to, you know, to live up to those expectations. And I thought the Lakers just fell way short, starting with the stars. All right, let's talk about Austin again. 32 minutes, 4 of 10 from the field, 1 of 4 from three-point range, 6 of 7 from the free throw line. A lot of his production that eventually came in the game happened when they were down double digits in the fourth quarter. That's why, like, I had somebody kind of telling me in my text, like, oh, you know, don't be too hard on Austin. He scored 36 or whatever it was against Boston the last time these teams played. The Lakers got their asses kicked by 50 in that game, basically. And like, congrats, like, somebody has to score in that game. I don't know, man. I am rooting for Austin. Because I like him as a dude. I like his camp. It's a really, really, really cool story. I am rooting for Austin to get paid this summer on a personal level. But I am way too nervous going into these games against these kinds of defensive, you know, like, playoff caliber defenders and playoff caliber athletes on the perimeter. I am way too nervous about whatever kind of game Austin is about to play in that one. And now, look, he played well against the Clippers the other night. He was super efficient. And I think that had a lot to do with the game plan, where it wasn't, all right, Austin, go to work against fucking Chris Dunn or Derek Jones or whoever. In that one, it was a lot more like, all right, Austin, come off of a screen over there, come, you know, operate in the secondary of this offense and take advantage of a compromised defense, you know, attack a closeout whenever you can attack a closeout. And that's, to be honest, like, if the Lakers, here's how I'll make the point. Some team is going to think Austin is worth the max. The Lakers do, right? The Lakers think Austin is worth the max. And some team is going to make Austin a max offer this summer. And if you're going to make a player a max offer, the smarter organizations out there will be like, look, if we're going to pay this player $40+ million a year, then we have to get every ounce of production from him, because the worst thing that you can have in this league is a player making max money who is not producing at max levels. And if the Lakers were a smarter organization, I would have zero concerns whatsoever about them paying Austin his max, because a smarter organization would get every ounce of production from their max players that they possibly could. That would involve having Luka set screens for him every so often. That would involve running sets that get Austin in motion and have him give him the opportunity and the ability to create against a compromised defense. That would involve surrounding Austin with the personnel to make sure that, like, he isn't your point of attack defender or is ever asked to be. Like, it would involve maximizing Austin Reeves, the player. And if I knew that the Lakers were smart enough as an organization to do that, I would feel totally fine paying, like, in a vacuum, I am perfectly fine paying Austin whatever it is that he's looking for this summer. But this isn't in a vacuum. And this Lakers organization isn't the Thunder, the Spurs, the Celtics, the Nuggets. They aren't. They're mom and pop shop still. And we'll see what, like, you know, as the Lakers Dodgerfy and all of that stuff, we'll see how smart they eventually become. Maybe this summer is the summer that they do finally start to add some of those pieces and into the organization, that and they surround JJ with a more creative coaching staff that is somehow able to get through to the players at the top of the roster to be like, yeah, Luka, we know that you like scoring in the first quarter when you aren't tired yet, because you get tired over the course of the game. But also, we need a more balanced approach so that Rui is in a rhythm, so that Austin is in a rhythm, so that LeBron is in a rhythm. Like, I think a big part of the reason why some of the Lakers shooting, you know, has been so up and down this year is because, like, they don't really know when their shots are going to come from or where their shots are going to happen. And like Rui tonight was 2 of 7 from the field, 1 of 4 from 3-point range. All of his shots were on good looks, but you could just kind of tell he was like, I got to get this one up here, or I'm good to shoot this one right. And that's just a very difficult thing to ask your role players to do. So with Austin, I am still very nervous about his athletic deficiencies. And specifically, like, I am really nervous about his production whenever referees decide that they are going to let teams play. He doesn't handle those situations as well as I would like him to handle them, and that makes me really nervous. And you combine that with the extent to which the teams are going to target him on defense, and all of a sudden, that player that you're paying at a max level, if he's no longer at a max level, you don't have the margins at that point to make up for that lack of production there, and that makes me really, really nervous. So I said this on one of the clips that Domin and I did for Offside, you know, as far as like what to look for in the second half of the season. The number one thing, honestly, that I'm looking for this second half of the season is Austin ready to be the second best player on a championship team? Can he be the second best player on a championship team? Because if he isn't, then what are we doing here? So, and I'm not sad, like, this is something that I'm going to watch for the entirety of the second half of the season. And we'll see what the answer to that question actually is by the end of the season. But this performance tonight, coupled with other performances against upper echelon teams in the league, the kinds of teams that you're going to have to go through to win a championship, that is making me nervous. And we'll see what comes of it. All right, let's see. I'm going to go through here. We have a lot of them. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and play the most important clip on the show, especially for today's game. Fuck Washington! All right, so Brandon Omang writes, completely out on DA. Smart can't hit open damn threes. Start Bando. AR needs to be more aggressive. Bronze three ball is completely gone this year. Luke needs to take more threes. Rui is useless if he isn't hitting threes. I agree with you on Ayton. It drives me nuts watching Ayton play with as much force as like Avery has when she's learning to, like, she's trying out rollerblades. She has a more solid base on her while she's trying to learn how to roller skate than DeAndre Ayton does playing basketball on tennis shoes. It's maddening how, like, the only time Ayton dunks it is if he has a wide open lane to the basket with nobody in front of him. Otherwise, he's shooting some soft-ass floater, which he's gotten way worse at over the course of the year. His jump hooks have gone away. His touch around the basket is bad. His hands are bad. He's always flat-footed, which means he's always a beat late on stuff. And like, he's always getting shoved by better, like, by the centers that the Lakers are going to face in the playoffs. Like, you know, he is, like, the things that, the extent to which that people are willing to go there on Austin, like, the person to actually make this point on is DeAndre Ayton. Ayton, like, every good center that the Lakers play, you're like, please, Ayton, just don't suck. And guess what, man? More often than not, he's going to suck in those games. And we're going into the postseason, and he's the starting center of the Lakers, and not a soul believes in him. He doesn't even believe that he's going to be good in the playoffs. And that's honestly the problem there. You watch him play, I don't think he has very much belief in himself right now. And his teammates don't believe in him. Fans don't believe in him. It's just, it's gone. It's that experiment has, the results of the experiment have come back. And once again, like we talked about with Rui earlier, you know, this summer, the Lakers, he's probably going to opt into his contract. The Lakers are going to bring in a starting caliber center, hopefully. And DA is like, there's going to be that conversation. Well, what can you actually do? Like, well, you're going to lose. Are you going to lose DA if you bring in a better center here? And it's like, I don't care if we lose DA. I don't care if DA walks out of the building. Go on, man. Walk to the Guangdong Southern China Tigers, whatever it is. Like, walk off to the Philippines with Christian Wood and all of those guys. Get out of here. Because you're not a starting center. So either you accept that you're a backup center or you get out of the league. And that's where his career is heading. As far as like start Vando, I don't know. Who are you starting him instead of? Marcus? Are you starting him instead of Marcus? I don't hate it. I don't hate it. I think he's I would still rather start Jake before I get to starting Vando, honestly. But Jake, you know, Jake tonight was a, played 24 minutes and didn't attempt a three-pointer, right? So, yeah, I don't know. This is just, it drives me nuts, man. You had a trade deadline and you had a first rounder and expiring money, and you should have picked up a starter at the deadline. It's what I said going into the summer or into the deadline. It's what I don't love coming out of the deadline. Like the Lakers this year, because let's say, because the winds are blowing in this direction. Let's say LeBron leaves. That means you now need to replace three starters with only $51 million in cap space. Most starting caliber players are going to be $25 million players. That means you only have room for two starters under that cap space. And that's if you renounce Rui and let him walk for nothing. And so, like, because Rui can't be a starter on a Luka team. His decision-making is too slow. Like, you need a point of attack defender to split the difference between, or to, you know, play in between Luka and Austin. You need a really good center. You need a really good wing, because Luka's going to guard most fours. Like, that's a lot to ask for in one offseason. And that means, again, you're going to go into next year trying to build up the culture with that as, like, your starting point, which means, like, chances are you're probably only going to find two of the starters that you need, and you're going to compromise, and you're going to stick. You're going to, like, look at your roster and say, like, all right, we're going to have the same conversation that we did this year, or we're going to look at the roster and say, like, okay, who's the fifth starter? And there's going to be that debate. And then you're going to hope to find that fifth starter at the deadline. But then you're taking out a starter and you're putting in a starter, and you're trying to build that plane mid-flight before the postseason. And it's the same fucking cycle. And that's why, like, this year, I would have liked for the Lakers to have committed that first round pick and done away with the stupid cap space plan, and actually committed to you know, giving LeBron and Luka and Austin a viable chance at a championship at a probably better point in their careers or contracts than they'll be from here on out. So yeah, it's tough, but yeah, I agree on Luke, like Luke not getting shots off. The Lakers don't run anything for him. I thought that was the whole point in acquiring him. And then Rui, his shot is too slow. And he's just a bummer to watch when he isn't making shots. The next question here comes from Justin Tyndall, who writes, Walter, see that we played a contender and look how far away we are. If you let Pelinka run the offseason, nothing will change in the next 4 to 5 years. Look, it's out there. Like, there are people who kind of speculate on this note, but the thought is that Genie, as part of the sale, got it in some kind of writing that she gets to run the Lakers for the next 3 to 5 years. And then after that, Walter gets to step in. This is now, technically year one of it. So you at best, you probably have 2 years more of the people running the Lakers. And then, but that is still, like, by the time that change has actually happened, in this case, even at, like, best case scenario, Luka is at or near 30. So it'd be kind of a bummer to waste years 27, 28, and 29. But yeah, like, I will see it. If Rob Pelinka doesn't have the offseason that he has been telling everybody he's planning to have, and then he isn't fired after that, then, like, we know what's up. It was a side deal. Genie negotiated, on the side without her siblings, and made sure she and her people were taken care of. And we move forward that way. But hopefully that isn't the case. Nobody's come out and said that definitively. Everybody just kind of, like, wonders about it. But all that matters for us Lakers fans is that the people who are making these decisions are actually good at their jobs. And I think the majority of the sample size that we have on the people who are making those decisions is that they aren't very good at their jobs. And this game, again, when you compare where the Celtics are, where they don't have their best player, and this game wasn't even close, like, what are we doing here? Let's see. Justin Tyndall, start Rui. He's absolute trash off the bench. I'm good. I've seen starting Rui. That starting lineup sucked. Justin, Kennard plays the exact same role Rob's first round pick, Dalton plays. JHS is going to lose in one round again. Fire Palinka is sick of the shit. Yeah, all that matters from that message, Fire Palinka. Like, I just hate losing to Boston, man. And I know that like this was the plan, but if your plan involves non-competitive postseasons with Luka Doncic, then I'm sorry, your plan sucks. Like, if you can't figure out a way to maintain flexibility while also competing as best you can while you have Luka in his absolute prime, then I'm sorry, man, you aren't good enough at your job to hold it. And that's where we find ourselves, where the Lakers basically said, like, yeah, we can't have the flexibility or the optionality that they say they want while also competing like that. And it's like every other team that you're competing against has figured that out. You're the only team. And listen to what it sounds like, right? Like, it's a two timeline. It's another two timeline situation where it's like, well, we are focused on this upcoming offseason. We are focused on the summer of 27. And it's like, okay, well, if you're focused on the summer of 27, what are you doing in the run up to that to give yourself the most optionality when you actually arrive there? Because if that was your focus, you should have traded Rui for an expiring and a second round pick. If that's what your focus is, you should have gotten something for Alex Caruso when he walked out the door. If that was your focus, then like you needed to be a significantly better with your draft picks than they have been, because the way to maintain optionality is to draft good basketball players. And the Lakers haven't done that for two drafts running. They haven't gotten shit from Edu Thiro. Bronny, we know what went into that draft pick, so I guess we could kind of set him off to the side. But at the end of the day, like, if you know your one draft pick that year in the second round is going to be Bronny, then you should that isn't necessarily a basketball decision, then you should probably do a little bit more to give yourself another opportunity in the second round that year to actually make a basketball pick, right? But no, they didn't do that. Like, instead, they've just basically sat in neutral. There's this, like, everybody who has ever worked in finance or who has ever shown interest in their own finances, like, wealth isn't generated by your own paychecks. Wealth is generated when your money starts working for you, even when you're not working. And for the Lakers, like, they kept on hoping to get wealthy off of their paychecks. They kept on thinking, well, we would add more assets to our draft cash by ending a season and getting a first round pick that we can move 5, 6, 7 years from now. And that's not how you accumulate assets. You accumulate assets by being realistic about the players that are in your system, finding the guys who do fit and doubling down on those guys, but also finding guys who don't fit in your system and converting those guys into assets that give you a better opportunity at landing more guys who do fit your system or do fit your culture. Rui, I am looking directly at you here. So, like, if you're going to sit there and tell me, well, we are focused on the summer of 27, and then you're also not doing whatever you can to give yourselves as many assets for that summer of 27, then you weren't that focused on 27. And if you weren't that focused on 27, then you needed to maximize your opportunities now. But we know that you didn't do that. So in reality, you didn't actually accomplish either of your goals. And if your only goal was clearing money, then what are we doing here? Then you're the Atlanta Hawks. Congrats, Atlanta Hawks. All right. I think, yep. Oh, no, we got one more. Giannis is Polinka's plan A, and he won't have a plan B. He does have a plan B, and apparently it involves, like, Giannis getting traded and the Lakers swooping in to offer some team flexibility to be able to trade for Giannis. And that, like, usually that would involve like trading for like Jaden McDaniels or Mikal Bridges or whatever, any of these other players who might shake loose as some of these teams dip further into the aprons. But my one place where I would push back on like that aspect of it, right? Well, we think that, you know, because teams are going to be going further and further into the aprons, they're going to have to trade away good players just to avoid those repeater penalties. The players that they're going to trade away to avoid those repeater penalties, they're going to trade away championship level players. If they're a championship level player, they wouldn't be traded away. So I don't know. We'll see how this whole plan pans out. But I hate the notion, you know, maybe it's the Kobe fan in me, but like if Kobe had an opportunity to take a game winning shot, he was taking that game winning shot. And for this organization to keep on preaching at the altar of Kobe, but continue to sit out taking that shot, it just sounds kind of empty. All right, that is going to do it here for this episode of the Lakers Lounge podcast. I'm going to go out and improve my mood by watching Game of Thrones. Tomorrow I will be recording a mailbag episode, so that'll happen right here on YouTube. So again, hit that subscribe button, hit that like button, turn on those notifications. And then tomorrow's a mailbag. Tuesday, I'm going to pre-record a conversation with Andy Kamenetsky of the Locked On Lakers and his ESPN shows, ESPN radio shows. And then Tuesday night, I think the Lakers, do they play at home Tuesday night? They do. So I'll be solo after Magic Lakers Tuesday night. And yeah, we'll see what comes out of the rest of the week. But bummer of an outcome here. The Lakers get their asses kicked by the Boston Celtics. I'm going to go wallow. Have a great rest of your weekend. Make somebody else's. I'll talk to you.